The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Christ.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. But she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt it in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Our gospel story today introduces us to two people, one a woman and one a man. Numbers of people have gathered to this place where Jesus has just docked his boat. A man from the crowd makes his way forward by pushing to the front of all of those gathered there. As his eyes land on Jesus, he falls to his knees and begs that Jesus might heal his young daughter. We read that this man is well known in his community, named Jairus. He is a devout man that holds a position of leadership in a nearby synagogue. We read that his daughter is incredibly sick, and in his time of greatest need, where does he turn? not to the synagogue, like maybe others had wished of him, but to the feet of Jesus. A voice he and his people have been told to cry out against and not to. Why would he risk being outcast, of losing his job and possibly stable income? Because of his deep faith. Jairus had heard stories of miracles, and it is in faith that he acts out against the identity of his tradition and his community. Jairus trusts Jesus when he tells him that his daughter is not dead, but sleeping. On their way to Jairus' home, the same large crowd that gathered to meet Jesus seaside now continues to follow them. According to Mark, this is where we meet the woman known as the one with incredible faith. For 12 years, she has been bleeding, rendering her unable to enter the temple, to touch others, and forced into isolation. In seeking help, doctors have only made her bleeding worse and have taken every penny that she owns. When she reaches out to Jesus, it is clear she does so, knowing all of these things. She knows that by touching the others there that have gathered, she too renders them unable to enter the temple, even Jesus himself. But she touches him anyway. Jesus turns and asks aloud who it is that has touched him. The woman, hesitant at first, came forward upon Jesus asking the crowd again. And rather than telling her off for touching him or questioning his actions and reasons, Jesus instead took time to recognize this woman, to lift up her voice, and to bring her whole truth forward amongst all of those there. Where others have shamed this woman, Jesus instead not only invites but insists that this woman's whole truth be shared with love and compassion. As our woman's story becomes profound by a cloak that Jesus was wearing, this reading invited me to reflect on a t-shirt of mine. Throughout my high school career, I was heavily involved in a club known as Fellowship of Christian Athletes, known as FCA, an extracurricular activity for student athletes to hear from a variety of local faith leaders. My senior year, I was elected president of FCA, and around the same time, I joined a local LGBTQIA+ youth group. The very first night that I attended that youth group, we upcycled previous year's Human Rights Campaign t-shirts. One of my favorite in the pile read, "Legalize Gay," written across the front. I had taken yellow puffy paint to write June 26, 2015 at the top in commemoration of when 6 years ago yesterday, same-sex marriage became legal in the United States. And y'all, I will tell you, I was so incredibly excited to wear my t-shirt to school the next day. And so I did. On my way from one class to the next, I passed our high school's sponsor for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I asked him how his day was and went on about mine. Within that class period, I had received a text message from the national representative for Fellowship of Christian Athletes in charge of the North Texas area, asking me into a meeting. Not thinking anything of it, I went to that meeting. There, I was greeted by the sponsor I had passed in the hallway, the national representative, and another coach from my high school. They took this time to tell me that my support of gay rights and the fact of me being the Fellowship of Christian Athletes president was not going to be okay. They asked me to get up in front of the club that day to tell all that I did not and that we should not support the rights of LGBTQIA+ individuals. And deep down, I knew this was not something that I could do. I asked the leaders around me that morning if I might make that announcement the following week, and they agreed. I took this time from one Friday to the next to be scared, to be sad, to be angry, and finally to reach out to someone for help. Like those in our reading today, and just maybe some of you sitting here or at home, these are all too familiar feelings. It's the recognition that these various identities that get put on us, be it by our jobs, our schooling, our friends, our family, or sometimes even ourselves, that do not always line up with the one that God created us to be or the faith that we believe in. In every walk of life, from a prominent man in his community to a woman disowned by the same people, and yes, even a gay gal from Texas, we are invited, and not only invited, but again insisted that we bring our whole selves to Christ. And yes, that means the messy, the complicated, the scared, the sad, the angry, the hurting and the recovering, the loud and the voiceless. It would have been easier for the religious man to have gone to someone of his own faith. If the woman had stayed away and continued to suffer in silence, if I had stayed in that role. And yet, it is here, in this place between trying to figure out who and what makes up our whole selves, and this idea of faith that Jesus meets us at our own story. That following Friday morning, I went to Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I got up in front of 50 members and coaches and resigned from that position. In that time and in today, I know that I had done what was right and just by my God and by my faith. The woman stood true by her faith when she went to Jesus and touched him. Jesus tells her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Jesus tells Jairus, "Do not fear, but believe," when his daughter awakens, even though she is thought to be dead. We find woven through these experiences Jesus bringing together just as many of the beautiful aspects of life as the real and the difficult ones. By allowing ourselves to ponder and then encounter who it is we truly are, a beloved and known child of God, who is wanted, holy by the savior of a creator who lives and breathes actively with us. It is then that we welcome the fullness of Christ into our lives. Beloveds, may these very words be as much of your encouragement this week as they are your challenge. Join that activist group that makes you smile every time you see their bumper sticker. Get that haircut that people tell you won't look so good, or start giving to that new cause you've just heard about. Maybe you've been itching to dye your hair some crazy shade of red. Switch up your pronouns for a week, or try a new name at the coffee shop. Whoever you are, may you welcome your whole truth and self into faith, just as Christ welcomes you. Amen.